Alrighty, if you have your Bibles, and I hope that you do, please go to the Old Testament book of Isaiah. The Old Testament book of Isaiah, it'll be somewhere around the middle of your Bible. Mine's on page 704. I don't know what your page is going to be, but around the middle of your Bible, we're looking at chapter 9, verses 1 through 7 this morning. In preparation for Christmas, we are starting a four-week series titled, He Shall Be Called. And this message series comes from Isaiah's prophecy of the coming Christ. In order for us to understand Isaiah 9 and for it to make sense to us today, we need to understand Isaiah 9 the best that we can this morning in its context then. You see, these words were written approximately 700 years before the birth of Christ. And in this portion of Isaiah that we are looking at today, the Assyrians are ravaging. They are ravaging the northern kingdom of Israel. And if we go back and look at Isaiah chapter 8, verse 22, we get a picture of what the northern kingdom of Israel is facing after the Assyrian devastation. It says in 8:22, "And they will look to the earth, but behold, distress, darkness, and the gloom of anguish, and they will be thrust into thick darkness." You see, the Assyrians left the northern kingdom of Israel in distress, it says, in darkness, in gloom, gloom of anguish, in utter despair. They destroyed them. And then we get to Isaiah chapter 9, verse 1, and the prophet Isaiah says, "But there will be no gloom for her who was in anguish. In the former time, he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the latter time, he has made glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations." You see, Zebulun and Naphtali, they were ravished by the Assyrian army. As you can see in this picture here, the area of Zebulun and Naphtali, this area that these arrows are pointing at here, this area would eventually be known as Galilee, the area where Jesus would eventually do the majority of his ministry. So the prophet Isaiah is saying here, Zebulun, Naphtali, you're going through distress. You're going through darkness. You're going through gloom. You're going through despair now. But he's saying this in Isaiah chapter 9. A Savior is coming. A ruler is coming who is greater than your oppressors. You see, the people during this time, they had to put their hope in a future prophecy that they would never, ever get to experience. As Isaiah spoke this hundreds of years before the birth of Christ. But here's the amazing thing about today, that you and I, we get to walk in light of this prophecy that has now come true. You see, in Matthew chapter 4, we see this prophecy come true hundreds of years later. Matthew 4, it says this, "Now when he," meaning Jesus, "heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew into..." What's it say? Galilee. He withdrew into Galilee, and leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum by the sea in the territory of, here's his prophecy come true, Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, the way by the sea, beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people dwelling in darkness have seen a great light. And for those dwelling in the region and shadow of death, on them a light has dawned. From that time, Jesus began to preach, saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." You see, Isaiah, he prophesied it. And you and I get to experience it firsthand. All of this came true at the very first advent of Christ. And ultimately, when Christ returns the second time, all of mankind, past and present, will know full well that Jesus is the wonderful Counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Would you stand with me this morning as we honor the reading of the beautiful, Amazing word of God. Isaiah chapter 9, let's look at verses 2 all the way through 7. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shone. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, and they are glad when they divide the spoil. Verse 4, for the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. For every boot of the tramping warrior in battle tumult, and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel for the fire. Verse 6, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end. In the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice, with righteousness, from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. God, would you pray with me? God, we come before your throne this morning, and we say thank you for this prophecy that has come true. Where you prophesied to a nation that was in despair and anguish, gloom, darkness. A light is coming, a sun is coming, hope is coming, and we see this prophecy come true. And today we get to live in light of this prophecy. So God, today we just ask and pray by the power of the Holy Spirit as your word is taught, as your word is proclaimed. We ask and pray today, God, that you would search our hearts, that what we need today that you would give us, that what we are not today that you would make us, that you would lead us, that you would guide us, that what we need today, oh God, that you would simply provide. God, today we just ask and pray that you would be glorified as a result of this day. Thank you for your words. Thank you for your promises that always come true. We love you, God. We love you. We need you this day. And all God's people said, amen. Please be seated this morning. This morning we are going to look at Jesus, the Wonderful Counselor. You see, the word wonderful, it means extraordinary. And counselor means someone who can give advice, someone who can give counseling, someone who can consult me. So Jesus is the wonderful, extraordinary counselor who can give wisdom, who can give advice, who can consult you, someone who can lead you where you need to go. You see, Jesus is who we should turn to first when we are in need of anything. But so often, we listen to the opinion of man instead of the opinion of God. Here are some facts that I read this past week about the self-help industry. Fact number one was this: live training seminars that look to motivate, empower, and teach people to reach their potential are now a $500 million a year industry. There are approximately 18,000 life coaches working in the U.S. alone, now with exponential yearly growth. Self-help and personal growth books have been huge sellers for decades now, with an estimated $776 million in sales for Americans every year. In total, the self-improvement industry is worth $11 billion. Just in the U.S. every single year. You see, the world is paying for the opinion of man. And Jesus, the Wonderful Counselor, is the one we should be listening to. Amen? In order for us to illustrate this point even further, join me in your Bibles and go to the New Testament book of Hebrews. The New Testament book of Hebrews, chapter 4, I want us to look at verses 14 through 16. If you're taking notes this morning, write this truth down. Jesus, the Wonderful Counselor, is my very own to possess. Jesus, the Wonderful Counselor, is my very own to possess. In verse 14, it says this: since then, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. He says, we have If I'm you this morning, I am taking in my Bible and I am underlining that phrase. I don't know what yours translates to, but mine says, we have. We have. This phrase is translated possess, or to be closely joined to a person. And this person that we have, this person that we have access to, this person that we possess is Jesus, the Son of God. Isaiah chapter 9, going back there, verse 6, it says, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given." To us a son is given can be translated to be bestowed upon, to be provided. In other words, you have been given and provided Jesus, the Son of God, as a gift. As Jesus, the wonderful counselor, would be given to Israel in their darkness, in their gloom, in their distress, and in their anguish, Jesus, the wonderful counselor, has been given to you and I for whatever situation that life would throw at us. He has been given to you and I as a gift to possess. Yes, it's okay to get advice from someone. Sure, it's okay to receive comfort from friends and family during times of distress and darkness. But listen, church, we should always start with Jesus, the wonderful counselor, first. Jesus, the wonderful counselor, will give greater advice and greater comfort than anyone could ever give on the earth. Matthew Henry writes, "This child was born for the benefit of us men, of us sinners, of all believers, from the beginning to the end of the world. Justly he is called wonderful, for he is both God and man. His love is the wonder of angels and glorified saints. He is the counselor, for he knew the counsels of God from eternity. He gives counsel to men in which he consults our welfare. He is the wonderful counselor, and none teaches like him." And this wonderful counselor, he is available all the time. I love what John chapter 3 says. It says, "Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews, and this man came to Jesus by night." I love what that teaches, that Jesus, the wonderful counselor, is available to you anytime, day or night. This past week in our home, we had what you would call just, you know, one of those weeks, one of those life weeks. We've all experienced them. You know, on Friday of Thanksgiving week, our hot water heater, you know, it decided that it didn't want to work anymore and that it wanted to leak some and leak into the inside of our house and flood some carpet. Every single person in our entire home this past week was sick. It looked like a Walgreens pharmacy exploded in our house. It was just a crazy week of sickness in our house. The Friday after Thanksgiving as well, we woke up. We were a couple of hours away from our home in Grove, and we woke up, and Macy was just, she had been sick, and she had been coughing and running a fever. And at this point in raising three kids thus far, I can already tell when our kids start having this certain type of cough and this certain type of, you know, nose type of thing running and just the way that they're acting. I can tell whenever they start doing these things that they have an earache. I can just tell. Colson's had like, you know, a million sets of tubes and he's had earache after earache. And I can just tell. And I said, "Brittany, I really feel like she has something going on with her ears." So we left Friday morning to go and get her to an urgent care. And that first urgent care was going to be like a 2.5 hour wait. And I was like, "I'm not waiting 2.5 hours with three kids. That just ain't going to happen." So we went to another community and found another urgent care. And this urgent care, we stood in line and they said, "Oh, we don't take your insurance." Oh, great. So we went across the community again and found an urgent care that was full of people that did take our insurance. And finally, we were able to get Macy seen. But you see, Jesus is yours all the time. You don't have to check to see if he's available. You don't have to have an appointment. You don't have to check and see if he's on your insurance. He's your wonderful counselor. He's always available to you, and he's yours free of charge. Because Jesus, the wonderful counselor, is your very own to possess. He is yours. Next, Jesus, the wonderful counselor, understands everything that I could ever go through. Verse 15, it says this, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin." The word sympathize here, it means to feel for. It means to have compassion for. You see, Jesus is able to sympathize with you in your weaknesses. He is able to identify with you no matter what you are going through. I love this song by Mark Schultz. It's titled, "I Have Been There." Some of the lyrics say, "An older man up on a hill, holding flowers, but he can't hold back the tears. Oh, he has come to say goodbye. He thinks about the life she lived, thinks about how hard it's been to live without her. 60 years right by his side. And he cries, oh Lord, I loved her till the end. And he heard a gentle voice say, you'll see her once again." Then the lyrics say, "I have been there. I know what sorrow is all about. Yes, I have been there and I'm standing with you now. I have been there and I came to build a bridge. Oh, so this road could lead her home. This road could lead her home. Oh, I have been there. You know, I overcame the cross. Yes, I have been there so her life would not be lost. Oh, I have been there and I came to build a bridge. So this road could lead you home. This road could lead you home. Oh, I have been there." So this morning, if you are facing loneliness, the wonderful counselor has been there and understands what you're going through. Today, if you're facing pain or hurt, the wonderful counselor has been there and knows exactly what you are going through. If you're facing depression today, the wonderful counselor has been there and understands exactly what you are going through. Today, if you are feeling neglected, the wonderful counselor has been there and understands everything that you are going through. William Barclay says, "He knows our problems because he has come through them. The best person to give you advice and help on a journey is someone who has traveled the road before you. God can help because he knows it all." Jesus is the very first person that we should turn to for help. He knows it all. He's been there, and he understands everything that you could ever go through. David Guzik says, "Jesus is the one fit to guide our lives and should be the Christian's immediate resource as a counselor. Jesus can help you with your problems. He may use the presence and the words of another Christian to do it, but Jesus is our counselor." Be reminded today, church, that Jesus is the wonderful counselor and he understands everything that you could ever go through. Next, Jesus, the wonderful counselor, can be approached with confidence. Verse 16, the beginning of this, it says, "Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace." The word confidence, it means fearlessly. It means courageously. It means boldly. We can come to the throne of grace. Whenever I was in college, I was a music major. And the dean of the music college, he was, let me just say, not a nice person. Not a nice person at all. He was very difficult to talk to. He was impossible to please. He was always right. He would assert his authority. He would assert his power. And whenever you would come to talk with him in a classroom setting, or whenever you would go to talk to him in his office, you had to approach him in fear because you were scared of him. But you see, whenever you approach the wonderful counselor for help, you don't have to approach him in fear. Yes, whenever you approach him, you should fear him. You should be in awe of him, but you don't have to be afraid of him whenever you approach him. You don't have to approach him and worry. You don't have to approach the wonderful counselor and wonder if you're going to get help. You don't have to wonder if he's going to be kind to you. Listen, you are approaching a throne of grace. A throne of grace. Not a throne of condemnation. Not a throne of confusion. Not a throne of fear. You are approaching a throne of grace whenever you approach the wonderful counselor. And you can be confident that he will help you when you approach him. L.M. Grant writes, "For we find the majestic throne of God to be in truth a throne of grace. While his great glory is maintained, yet his grace is there dispensed in fullest measure. The blessed sacrifice of the Lord Jesus is the basis of this character of grace attaching to the throne of God." And you get to experience this grace whenever you approach the wonderful counselor. Jesus, the wonderful counselor, can be approached with confidence because his throne is a throne of grace. Next, we see in the scripture that Jesus, the wonderful counselor, can be trusted to help me in my time of need. Can be trusted to help me in my time of need. At the end of verse 16, it says this, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You see, when you come to Jesus, the wonderful counselor, you can absolutely trust that he will help you in your time of need. But the key word here is trust. We need to remember that when we approach the wonderful counselor for help, we must trust the help that he gives, because he may not help us the way that we think that we need helped. Isaiah goes on to say that God's ways and thoughts are higher than our ways, that they are higher than our thoughts. And we must trust any and every way that he wants to help us whenever we approach him for help. Hosea writes, "Whoever is wise, let him understand these things. Whoever is discerning, let him know them. For the ways of the Lord are right." The ways of the Lord are right, and the upright walk in them, but transgressors stumble in them. I love what Hosea says. He says, the ways of the Lord are right. All of his ways. And if he decides to help us in a certain way, it is right. It is right. Charles Spurgeon says, "Remember, there is nothing that happens in your daily life but what was first of all devised in eternity and counseled by Jesus Christ for your good and in your behalf, that all things might work together for your lasting benefit and profit. Oh, how strange providence seems to you and me. Does it not look like a zigzag line, this way and that, backward and forward, like the journeyings of the children of Israel in the wilderness? Ah, my brethren, but to God, it is a straight line. Directly, God always goes to his object, and yet to us, he often seems to go roundabout. Let us learn to leave providence in the hand of the counselor." You see, Jesus can absolutely be trusted to walk us through whatever we are going through the exact way that he wants to walk us through it. Peter Pett says this, "Mercy for the past, God's gracious help for the future. As we go on, both are constantly needed. Without the first, we would face judgment and constant shame and self-reproach. Without the second, we would crumble in times of need. It represents full provision for our lives." You see, Jesus, the wonderful counselor, can absolutely be trusted to help us and to provide for us in our times of need. So how do we apply a message like this to our life? Knowing that Jesus Christ is our wonderful counselor, knowing that he gives greater wisdom and greater advice that the world could ever possibly offer us, we apply a message like this to our lives like this. Number one, turn to Jesus, the wonderful counselor, before I do anyone else. Before I do anyone else, how do we do that? I think it's very simple. And I will preach this over and over and over, and I'll never stop preaching this. I think you turn to the wonderful counselor for help by prayer. By prayer. I think every single day, before we start our day, we should start our day with prayer. Getting on our knees and bowing before the wonderful counselor who is there, who has provided for you, who has provided for me to lead us, to guide us, to give us wisdom, to give us advice, to consult us, to lead us to where we should go. We should bow before this king on our knee and say, Jesus, the wonderful counselor, would you guide me today? Would you lead me today? Would my words be your words today? Would my heart be your heart today? Oh God, where I go, would I go where you want me to go? We should start every single day off to this wonderful counselor who has been provided for you, who has been provided for me in prayer. I love the song by Casting Crowns that says, what if his people prayed and those who bear his name would humbly seek his face and turn from their own way? And what would happen if we prayed for those raised up to lead the way? Then maybe kids in school could pray and unborn children see the light of day. What if the life that we pursue came from a hunger for the truth? What if the family turned to Jesus, stopped asking Oprah what to do? I love that. We turn to the wonderful counselor before we do anyone else, and we do this in prayer. I love what Jerry Bridges says. He says, prayer is the most tangible expression of trust in God. You want to show that you trust the wonderful counselor? You pray about everything. You pray about everything. How else can we turn to the wonderful counselor before we do anyone else? I'll preach this over and over and over. It's through the Word of God. Through the Word of God. It's amazing how often people come to me or come to my office and say, Caleb, I want to hear a word from God. I want to hear his voice. I want to hear what he has to say about this. Listen, everything that you need to hear from God is in his word. It's there to lead you. It's there to counsel you. It's there to give you wisdom. It's there to give you advice. You want to hear him speak? You want to hear the wonderful counselor speak to your heart, to your soul? This is how he speaks. It's very simple. I think every day we should start our day off with prayer and time in the beautiful word of God that has been given to you, that has been given to me for advice, for guidance that will lead us to where we need to go. R.E. Torrey says, the truly wise man is he who believes the Bible against the opinions of man. The opinions of man are everywhere. The world is searching for the opinions of man. The world was paying billions upon billions of dollars for the opinion of man when you and I have the opinion of the God who created the universe for free of charge. It is there to lead us and to guide us, and this opinion is greater than any opinion of man. Any opinion of man. We turn to him in prayer, the word, then we listen to what the wonderful counselor says. We hear him. We listen. We attune our hearts to what he has to say. We block out what the world is saying. We go to the word and we listen. We listen to what he says. And then most importantly, we obey what the wonderful counselor says to do. It's one thing to hear what he says and to say, yeah, I know that's the correct thing. I know that I should be living my life this way. I know that I should be receiving this advice and abiding my life by this. But it's another thing when the rubber meets the road to obey what the wonderful counselor says to do. And whenever we do that, whenever we hear, we pray, and we listen to what he says in the word of God, and we obey what the wonderful counselor says to do, listen, our lives will go so much more smooth. So much more smooth. So why should we turn to Jesus, the wonderful counselor, in prayer, in the word, listen to what he says? Because Jesus is the wonderful counselor. And as Hosea says, his ways are right. Would you bow your heads this morning? Would you bow your heads and just for the next few moments, as we go into a time of just response, would you just tune your heart to the wonderful counselor? Just answer questions like this. Am I listening to the wonderful counselor? Am I going to him for advice? Am I going to him for wisdom? Am I going to him at all through prayer, through the counsel of the word? Is he who you turn to first? Is there something going on in your life where you just need comfort, where you just need wisdom, where you need someone to consult you and you just need the answer? Would you just right now in this moment, this room this morning, would you just come to him, the wonderful counselor, and give just your concern, your worry, your hurt over to him? Would you do that right now? And if you haven't been doing that, if you've been going to the world, if you've been searching out the opinion of man before you have been the opinion of God, would you just repent of that this morning and say, God, I want to hear your voice. I want to come to you first. I want to hear what you had to say about this matter. Would you just make a commitment that from this point forward that you're going to seek him out, Jesus Christ, who has been given to you? Maybe you're here in this place today and you don't even know what this means, that I can come to God, that I can go to God. You don't know what this God stuff is. You don't know what this Christianity stuff is, this Jesus stuff is. You don't know what it really means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. You know, this season we're celebrating the birth of Jesus, but the reason he came to this earth and was born was for your sin, was for my sin. The Bible says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But the gift of God is Jesus. We talked about that. God gave Jesus, and Jesus came to this earth, and he lived a perfect and sinless life. And he died on a cross for your sin and for my sin. And the Bible says that if we place our faith and our trust in him, that he will forgive us of our sin and cleanse us from our sin. He'll cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And the Bible says that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And you can call on him this morning to save you. You just call on him, say, Jesus, I admit that I've sinned and I've messed up, and I call on you today to save me. And you place your trust in him. Jesus, I trust you. The best that you know how, place your faith in him and then commit your life to follow him from this point forward. God, we come before your throne and we say thank you. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for this truth that is found in the word of God, that Jesus has been given to us. Jesus has been given to us. The wonderful counselor to be there for us, to lead us, to guide us, to offer us comfort, to offer us hope, no matter what we're going through. Thank you, God, for Jesus Christ that has been given to us. And Lord, I just ask and pray today that you would help us as a people to go to him first, to consult him first, to hear your words first before we do the opinion of man. God, help us to follow you. Help us to chase after you, Jesus, our wonderful counselor. We love you, God. We love you. And in your name we pray. Amen. Church, right now, we're going to have a time of response. And if you're in this place today and you need prayer for anything whatsoever, in a moment, you come forward. We have some that are up here who would just simply love to pray over you, who would love to pray over your situation, who would love to go to the throne of God on your behalf today. Today, if you just want to come to this altar and just kneel and say, Jesus, the wonderful counselor, I want to come to you from this point forward. I want to stop going to the opinions of man, and I want to listen to what you have to say. You come forward this today, and you make a commitment to God. But you be obedient to God, and you respond to him today as he is calling you to do so. As we stand, and as we sing,